Okay, friends, this morning is the slide on? Okay. This morning I'm going to talk to you about three aspects about biblical wisdom. Say with me, biblical wisdom. I'm going to talk about three aspects about this subject. Because, you know, all the messages we bring here on Sunday morning is based in our day-by-day living. And I'm amazed for something that we have done this week and the way things happen with us without knowing that. Sometimes we host people and we can't even imagine their capacity. The capacities behind them, the instructions that they already have, because not everyone comes and say, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that, I'm a PhD in this, you know. But praise God because of that. And I was amazed this week because we did a funeral service for Mary Fernando. By the way, Trevin is here this morning with us, her son. We love Mary, you know? And I just knew Mary after she died, actually. Because I never knew she was everything she was. I was talking to his dad. He came for us to arrange all the funeral program and everything. And he said, have Mary ever revealed herself to you? I said, I know she was a mom, she was a wife, and a lawyer. And he said, she was more than this. And he started to not to try to boast her because she doesn't need anymore, okay? But just to tell us who Mary was. And I said, wow, I never knew Mary was so many things. Book writer, teacher, lawyer, lots of things. And I said, I was meditating about it, Trevin, this week. And I said, wow, what a fantastic life she had. Because instead of coming to this church and saying, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that, I'm high level, please prepare the best seat for me because I'm this and that, she always humble. And the first word she said to me in this place, I came here to serve. And I was amazed about it. And I was meditating about it. And God gave me this message. Three aspects about biblical wisdom. Okay? But first of all, before we read any passage in the Bible, as we normally do, because every message must be backed up by the Bible, I'm gonna read a short story for you. It's a quite funny story. My dad used to tell me this story, okay? And I try to translate it in the best way. God's helped me translating it for you to understand. This story talks about the scientist and the old sailor. Sailor is the guy who works in a boat, in a small boat. So the scientist and the old sailor. There is a story of a scientist and an old sailor. The scientist was extremely intelligent and he was full of information. One day, he went to a very remote place in a small island close to a forgotten city in order to do some more of his research as a scientist. When he got there, to that small city, he had to get a small boat to cross the channel and get to the island. And it took about half an hour journey in that slow and small boat to cross the channel. As there was only him and the sailor on board, then he started a conversation with a very simple and humble man, the sailor. And he asked him, "How many places in the world have you ever visited?" The sailor said humbly, he answered, I have never been anywhere else in my entire life, sir." "Wow," the scientist replied, "I'm so sorry about it. You have missed out on life." "Okay," he asked another question. "What do you think?" "What do you think about using Pythagorean theorem in math calculation?" "Do you know anything about it?" "Yeah, you have heard about it." And then the guy asked, "What do you think about using Pythagorean theorem in math calculation?" The sailor answered again, "Sorry, I have no idea of what you are talking about. I didn't have the opportunity to go to school." The scientist said, "Oh, I'm sorry to say this again. You have missed out on life." Okay. A few minutes later, an incident happened in that old boat, and it started filling up with water, and soon it started sinking. So the sailor now then asked the scientist, "Can you swim?" The scientist said, "No." And the sailor said to him, "I'm sorry to tell you, but now you lose your life because you cannot swim." The moral of this story is to teach us to never use your expertise for self-promotion and despising others. Your expertise for self-promotion and despising others, but use your skills to help others. Amen? So let's go to the Bible now. Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9, verse 9 and 10. Are you there? Proverbs of Solomon chapter 9, verse 9 and 10 says, "Give instructions to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Friends, when we think about wisdom, we are easily connected with an intelligence and a great perception about things. This is right. A person who is provided with those characteristics tends to be a very healthy-minded person. However, when we consider wisdom in a biblical perspective, then we actually go to a higher level in what the word wisdom is meant to be. In a common sense of the word, it's already a good standard. But in a biblical standpoint, it brings not only a sense of balance within the momentum, but also give us the whole picture of what we are facing in that moment of our lives. Biblical wisdom is an important tool given by God in order for us to have insights of what happened in the past, what is living now, and where this will take us into. This can also be referred to as spiritual discernment. Say with me, spiritual discernment. So when we talk about biblical wisdom, let's understand as a spiritual discernment. Because the spiritual discernment gives us a panoramic vision, gives us the whole picture. Okay? Any knowledge you receive can give you a balance for you to behave well and make this right decisions in that momentum in your life. However, biblical wisdom gives you not just for the momentum, gives you a vision for the past, present, and future. Say with me, past, present, and future. So it's very important, friends, to get knowledge. It's very important to go to school. It's very important to know things. It's very important to hear as much as information you can. However, use it for God's glory. Use it to make people feel better. Use it to improve people's lives, because your life is already improved. Once you have knowledge, once you have God's word inside of you, you are okay. Could you shake somebody beside you and say, you are okay?
I'm okay.
Yeah, thank you, Richard. We are okay. It's not the word we say, oh, how are you doing? I'm fine. Nobody say, oh, I'm disgraceful. Oh, wow, I'm so bad today. Nobody say this. You should say when you are feeling like this, but we don't say this. We always say, I'm fine, I'm well, I'm okay. Not too bad. I don't like this expression too much. Not too bad. I still have one leg, you know? But however, you can move by yourself. You can still doing something by yourself, so you are fine. Friends, I don't fear dying, okay? Cannot be today, of course. We have baptism. I don't fear any possibility for dying, okay? Because I know where I'm gonna be if I die. If Jesus blows the trumpet for me, I'm fine, I can go. The one thing I fear in my heart, please know that, is to stay in a hospital bed and people changing my nappies. That's my fear. And I say, Lord, when my time comes, just blow the trumpet once and I will be there. Don't allow me to stay in this situation, because I can't do this for anyone else, and also I don't want anyone doing this in me. Can you imagine having someone, especially a lady, cleaning you up? Oh, that's horrible. That's a horrible feeling, and I don't want to go through this situation. Lord, when my time comes, just blow the trumpet and I'll be ready. Okay? And even my wife, I don't want to see her doing this in me, as I don't want to do this in her. When my prayer is this, it's full prayer. When her time comes, take it. Because friends, there will be no suffering, amen? There will be no suffering. I want to die like my grandma died. She had the visit of the Holy Spirit. On Saturday night, the angel came to her. In the living room, she was sitting down there, and she called my mom, and she said, come here, come here, come here. Who is this man beside me? She said, nobody's beside you. She said, yes, this is a big man. My mom understood. Oh, it's the angel of the Lord. Oh, yeah, she came to pick me up. On Sunday night, she passed away. Not smelling, not doing anything, not needing anything. She was okay. She was fine.
Amazing.
She was fine. And when her time came, I said, Lord, let me, if I need to die one day, I expect not dying. I expecting to see Jesus coming back, you know. But if I have to die, I want to die in this way. Not giving job to anyone, hard job to anyone, you know. But when we understand it, friends, this is a momentum that we go through. And in those moments, all the knowledge you have is nothing. All everything you received one day in your life is nothing. The only thing that stays in you is the biblical wisdom. And when we understand the will of the Lord in our lives. So let's consider some of these three aspects of biblical wisdom. First, biblical instruction is unlimited. Amen? Yeah. Biblical instructions is unlimited. God is the source of wisdom that never fades away. How many principles we learn in the school, in the university, and few years later, they change the principle. Because the scientists, they discovered another thing. They went to the next level. So all those books you read and did exams about, you have to throw in the bin. Because those principles now are new principles. Alright? However, the Bible doesn't change. Everything that God teaches you today is going to be forever. Because His word never changed. Could you tell somebody, His word never changed. We can't get enough when we experience constant spiritual learning. Learning from God is something amazing. It's from a source that never fades away. That never stops. The more we get from God, the more He has for us. Amen. So we can't get enough. God will never say to you, oh, stop for today because I need to produce something else. You have finished for your learning today. No. God is a source that never stops. The more you want to get from Him, you're going to receive from Him. The amount we get from heaven is the amount heaven delivers to us spontaneously. Amen? Amen? So heaven is the best source of biblical knowledge. It's the source that gives you knowledge from the past, from the present, and from the future. Not just for the momentum you are in. You know? So if you go to a psychologist, for example, you have some problems, you are a little bit disturbed, and you say, I'm going to go to a psychologist to have some guidance. And you go to the psychologist, and you start to become a friend of that psychologist. And then you're going to discover one thing. That psychologist also goes to another psychologist. A friend of mine in Brazil, many years ago, he wrote a song that he said, my deception starts when I discover that my psychologist also goes to a psychologist. Why? Because we are limited. Because we are human beings. As pastors, some people think we are supermen. We don't have problem. You are when I need, I put my wife on my back and I start to fly around. No. We are human beings. We feel pain. This morning I was looking for paracetamol. Because I went to a party last night. I didn't drink. Just because I didn't sleep well. I didn't sleep the same time I normally sleep. So I was a bit dizzy this morning. I said, wow, I need a paracetamol. So we are not supermen. We are not Wonder Womans. We are just human beings helping one another with the gift God gave to us. However, when we start to use biblical wisdom to help one another, we are automatically using something that is eternal. Amen. will never change. Can come another scientist and change that principle, Pythagoras theorem. Yeah. Some scientists can discover something and go to the next level and say, oh, listen, this principle until now worked, but from now on, we are going to go to the next level. They can do this, all right? Because they discover something new every day. But when we go for a biblical wisdom, Carol, this has never changed. That was in the beginning, that is today, and that will be
forever.
Because his words never change. Amen? Ecclesiastes 1:7 says, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. Alright? So let's go to the second point. A teachable heart produces a learning spirit. A teachable heart produces a learning spirit. Let's see, what does it mean, friends? Humbleness is a stage where God reveals his secrets to us. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says that God doesn't like people when they boast themselves. And that was the position Mary was in this church that I never knew. She was so capable to do so many things. She was in a full understanding of her mind. She was prepared to do so many things. She did so many things in life. But unfortunately, she came to this church just 2 years ago. When I saw this, I said, why, Lord? Why did you give us Mary for at least 5 years? We could grab from her more than we grabbed, more than we got. But she never came through this door saying, I'm this, I'm that, I have this diploma, I have this PhD. She never did it. The word was in her mouth, yes, I came to serve. And that amazed me, and that inspired me to go through this message, okay? A teachable heart produces a learning spirit. In the simplicity of our heart is where we find an easy spiritual understanding. Friends, you can boast yourself and be the best student in your class for an earthly understanding, for an earthly wisdom. But when you go to learn from biblical principles, you have to humble yourself. You have to put yourself in a very humble situation and you say, Lord, even though I have been in university, even though I can do this, I can do that, I just want to say everything I have came from you. And I want to give it to you back. To use it in my life to help people. To help people. To help people that are in need. People that they need some support. So, a teachable mindset breaks the pride and allows us to enjoy God's favor. As the story I just read for you guys, the scientist was very over the top in that boat. He was very over the top. And he saw a very simple man. Of course, that man didn't know anything about that theorem. Of course, he knew that that man never visited any other part of the world, but he was to promote himself. But in the end of the day, when the boat was sinking, the man said, do you know how to swim? He said, no. So you lost all your understanding. You lost all the places you visit. You lost all the theorems, all the equations, all the maths, all the science. You lost everything because you are going to lose your life today if you don't know how to swim. So friends, we have to use capacity that God gives us to serve somebody else. Not to serve yourself. If you use your capacity, if you use your skills, your knowledge, your degree to serve your ego, you are the most miserable man on the face of the earth. God gives us knowledge and understanding to serve Him, serving people.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
So that's the best equation. Serve Him, serving people. Amen? So a humble, a teachable mindset breaks the pride. Breaks the pride. Breaks the pride and allows us to enjoy God's favor. God's favor is available for every single one of us. But please, people, don't set yourself in your own understanding. The Bible says it. Lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Him. Because He is the one who is ahead of you. Who is the one who gives you intelligence. Amen. James 1 verse 5. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. It will be given to you. As long as you ask for understanding, God is available to give you understanding. But friends, remember that when you try to consider yourself very clever, very number one, you know, or one plus, remember who gave you those understandings, who gave you those principles, and try to live and supply people's lives with your capacity. Amen. This is not to feed your ego. Understanding, knowledge is not to feed your ego. Biblical wisdom makes us wise to serve. When you leave university, you don't live like wise. You live like intelligent, clever. But the way you're going to use your capacity, the way you're going to use your information you received there, will make you wise. Number three, fearing God is a wise beginning. Say with me,
fearing God
is a wise beginning. Secular wisdom is good, okay? It's good. You must go to university, you must go to school, do college, whatever. Time to time, even when you finish university, time to time is go for a recycling. Because they do some recycles.
Yes.
Okay, some informations. There's a new information. I was talking to a friend of mine, she's a doctor. And I said, when my dad was in the hospital, I was there and she came to visit him also. And I said, listen, I'm a bit concerned about, I can see all the doctors around, they are like my son. All around 22 years old, 23, 25 years old. Can we trust in these guys? She said, yes, you can. I said, why? She said, because they came, they are brand new mind. Old doctors, they are confident in themselves. But the new ones, they are confident in the new discoveries.
Yes. Yeah.
They are totally updated.
Yes.
So trust in them. Trust in them. I said, oh, thank you for this information. Because I was very concerned. So, secular wisdom is good, but it can bring vanity into your heart. Oh, wow. I-P-A-G. I'm good on it. People, when they try to boast themselves, they change their voice. Have you seen this? They are talking normally. I have a dog. Oh, yeah, yes, well. Relax. Just say what have you done? Why should you post your voice in a different way, in a different tone? Just to book, yeah, in a posh way. So secular wisdom is good, but it can bring vanity into your heart. A self-centered heart has no space in God's plan. Yeah. It doesn't matter how much you know. It doesn't matter. Self-centered heart has no space in God's plan. God's wisdom does not exalt in itself, but it's used to help one another. God's wisdom, biblical wisdom, is to guide people, is to help people in their way, is to, you know, to give some guidance, some direction in people's lives, as you one day is gonna need it, and somebody else is gonna speak in your life, because we are not Superman. You help somebody today, one day somebody's gonna help you. Amen. So biblical wisdom can be given to anyone, not just for those who went to university or something. Can be given to anyone that touch God's heart. But the first requirement is to be humble. God can use you, but be humble. When you pray for somebody and that person is healed, don't boast yourself. I prayed because I prayed. My prayer works. If it was not my prayer, well. There is no rain in the land. You pray and the rain comes. Oh, my prayer. My prayer, wow. God needs me. Seriously? God needs you? God's wisdom doesn't exalt in itself. Be humble. And you're going to be full of wisdness. Amen. You're going to be full of grace. Amen. You're going to be full of discernment. Amen. Because biblical wisdom is like a spiritual discernment. And spiritual discernment is something that God gives to us to discern seasons, to discern time, to discern words, to discern eyes, to discern situations, whatever it is. When we receive biblical wisdom, we have spiritual discernment. And I'm going to read James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Amen. What kind of wisdom do you want? Nothing wrong getting outside wisdom. Nothing wrong, as long as you use it in a good way. But don't boast yourself when you are full of knowledge. Get biblical wisdom, because through that you are going to learn how to be humble and help somebody else. Because the same way you are helping somebody today, in a few days, hours, months, years, somebody needs to help you. Because this is the cycle, the life cycle. You help today to be helped tomorrow. Not necessarily by the same person you helped. Sometimes we save it. You help somebody, oh, it's saved. The day I need, I'm going to go to that guy. Remember the day I... Don't do this. Don't do this. Because God works in a different way of us. Okay? The guy you helped will not be around when you need. But don't complain, Lord, where is that guy now? This is always happening with me. I help everyone, but when I need help, where is it? Stop complaining. Help and let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. And the day you need, God will prepare. Maybe somebody better than that one to help you. But God will never let you go without support. Amen?
Amen?
The wisdom that is from above, from heaven, is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Let's all stand up. Your guidance, Lord. Give us your understanding. Because the wisdom that comes from you, Lord, is pure, it's healthy, doesn't bring any pain, doesn't boast in itself. Thank you, Jesus. Because you are instructing us today. Just to be humble and receive from you. And as long as we receive from you, help us to share it, not to hold it. We are not here to hold your instruction. We are here to share all the information you give to us. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon every single one in this room. I thank you for your understanding upon every single one in this place. Let us help one another. Let us be available to help people outside. How many desperate people we can meet day by day. People that work with us, people that goes to the same school with us, neighbors, they are desperate for lacking of information. And most of the time, we can help them. Help us, Lord, not to neglect their necessity. But help us to have an open heart to share all the vision, all the instructions, all the guidance you have given to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.